study of Genesis. We are in chapter 44. And this chapter records the filling of Joseph's brothers' bags with grain, the restoration of their money, Joseph's silver vessel being placed in Benjamin's bag, the pursuit of Joseph's steward and his inspection of their bags, the brother's offer and the steward's reply, the finding of Joseph's silver cup in Benjamin's bag, the brother's shock, sorrow, and their return to Joseph's house, Joseph's response to his brothers, and Judah's intercession for Benjamin. Now we'll read the first two verses. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, in his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken.
Joseph is still checking these guys out, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So he tells the steward may be getting amused by this time, you understand? He tells the steward, you know, fill their bags up and put their money back in the top of the bags, and take my silver cup and put it in the youngest son, put it in Benjamin's bag, and let them go on their way. So the steward did what he was told to do.
Mm-hmm. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men, and when you do overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinks, and whereby indeed he divines, you have done evil in so doing?
So, when morning arrives, Joseph's brothers were sent away with their donkeys, and after the men had left, they weren't far away, and Joseph told his steward how to go after them. And he overtook them and asked them why they had returned to Joseph, this evil for good. And he accused them of taking Joseph's silver drinking vessel, which he also used to prognosticate with. Okay. Mm-hmm. King James Divine. Okay.
Mm-hmm. In verse 6, and he overtook them, and he spoke unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore said my Lord these words? God forbid that your servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto you out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen.
So, boy, they're pleading their case now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're honest people, you know. I mean, look, we brought the money back from the life that we found the last trip. We brought it back. And now they make a very rash statement. They are so sure, they think, that he is wrong that they said, all right, the bag you find the silver cup in, kill him. That's a pretty rash statement, isn't it?
Our mouths can get us into some big trouble.
Yeah.
Verse 10, and he said, now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and you shall be blameless.
And so the steward's reply to him, he's not wanting, they say, you know, kill whoever you find the silver cup with, and the rest of it will be your servants or your slave. And he says, all right, let it be like you said. Mm-hmm. Only the only one I want as a servant or a slave is the one I found the silver cup with. Rest of you can go home.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack.
Don't you find that interesting? He knows where the silver cup is. But he starts with the oldest and goes down the line.
Yeah.
And they're feeling good. Now, I told you that cup wasn't there. And then comes Benjamin. And he finds the silver cup in Benjamin's bag where he had placed it previously.
Man. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city.
Man, they can't believe what they're seeing. They just tear their clothes and in grief and in anguish, and they put their bags back on their donkey, and they all return to the city. Not just Benjamin, but every one of them goes back to the city.
Mm-hmm. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And did I skip ahead? I'm good? Okay, good. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that you have done? Want you not that such a man as I can certainly divine?
So when Judah and his brothers arrived at Joseph's house, Joseph was still there. And they just hear again, they fall on the ground or they bow before him again. And he asked them why they had done such a thing as this. And he said, do you not know that a man such as I can prognosticate or divine? Do you think you can get by with stealing something from me?
Yeah. And Judah said, what shall we say unto our Lord, unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found.
Now here's where their own hearts condemn them. Judah says, what can we say?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is there to say? You know, how do we speak? Can we acquit ourselves? In other words, we've been caught red-handed, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, God revealed the perversity of our sins. In other words, our sin has found us out. So he says, we're your servants,
mm-hmm.
along with the one with whom the silver vessel was found. We'll all become your servants.
And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. As for you, get up in peace unto your father.
And Joseph said, no, that far be it from me. You guys are innocent. I want the guilty one. You guys go on home mm-hmm. and leave Benjamin here with me.
Then Judah came near unto him and said, oh, my Lord, let thy servant, I pray you, speak a word into my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh.
So Judah asked permission to speak. And I mean, boy, he recognizes the power of Joseph, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I know that, I mean, you're like Pharaoh. I mean, you're ruling over the land, you know. So he asked Joseph not to be angry with him. He just wanted to plead his case, you understand.
Mm-hmm. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loved him.
So Judah starts pleading this case and reminds Joseph of the previous trip and how Joseph had inquired about the father and the brother, and they told Joseph that their father had had a son in his old age, and that the brother of this son was dead. That's what they thought, although they sold him in slavery. And that his father dearly loved this son. He said he's the only son left of his mother. And, I mean, Judah's getting right down where the rubber meets the road now, okay?
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read verses 21 all the way through 31. And you said unto your servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou said unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, you shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me. And I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave.
So Judah says to Joseph, you told us to bring our younger brother to Egypt so you could see him. And we told you that if a boy leaves his father, that his father would die. He's not going to live without the boy. But you insisted. You said you can't see my face unless your younger brother's with you. So we went home. We told our father what you said. And in time, our father told us to go back to Egypt, buy more grain. But we told him we couldn't return to Egypt to buy grain without Benjamin going with us, our younger brother. And so our father responded, he said, you knew my wife, Rachel. She had two sons. One of them went away, and I said, surely some animal had torn him to pieces. I've not seen him since. If you take Benjamin from me and something bad happens to him, I'll go to my grave grieving for him. And so Judah says, if I return to our father, and he sees that Benjamin's not with me, he'll die. Because his life is absorbed in Benjamin, and he'll die grieving for his son. In other words, he's appealing to the emotion of Joseph here.
But you know, Joseph is hearing some things that he didn't know. He only, of course, knew his perspective, that his brothers were just gave him away, right?
He didn't know what they had told his father.
Right.
But now he's hearing some things, and now he's hearing what his father thinks has happened to him.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father?
I'm seeing some remorse in Judah for his previous actions with Joseph. See, Judah's the one that said, let's sell him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And so now Judah is saying to Joseph, listen, I became surety for Benjamin. And he said, I told my father if I didn't return home with him, that I would bear the blame of it forever. And he asked Joseph, he said, let me take Benjamin's place. You send Benjamin back home, and you keep me, I'll be your slave. He said, how can I return home and face my father without Benjamin? Because if he sees that Benjamin's not with me, and something bad will happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see a remorse in mm-hmm. Judah. And now he is genuinely concerned about his father. Now he's willing to take the place of this brother and bear the punishment of whatever.
Mm-hmm. And moving into chapter 45. In this chapter, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers and requests that they bring his father and the entire family to Egypt to live. So verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "'Cause every man to go from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brethren.
After hearing Judah's plea, which was a genuine plea, you understand, Joseph couldn't contain himself any longer. He told everybody to get out of the room, except for his brothers. And then he told his brothers, here he was, I'm Joseph. Man, that got your attention, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Verse 2, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard.
So when he tells them he's his brothers, Joseph just starts crying loudly. And the Egyptians heard him, and they tell the household of Pharaoh what's going on here. You know, Joseph's brothers are here.
And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence.
So after Joseph tells them, his brothers, I'm Joseph. How's my father? Is he okay? They don't know what to say. I mean, they are astonished when they learn who he is. They're speechless and afraid. This man can do us in for what we've done to him. You understand?
Now, Andrew and I were talking at break about this. We don't know the exact time frame of all this, but we do know that Joseph had these dreams when he was 17, right? We talked about this the other night. He appeared before Pharaoh when he was 30. There were 7 years of plenty. Now we're in the second year of famine, so he is at least at this point, what is he, 39?
We're going to get it right here. We're going to get a time frame as we keep reading.
But also keep in mind, too, that remember that the Pharaoh gave him a new name, right? An Egyptian name. And I feel sure that also he probably looked very different, too. He was probably dressed in the manner of the Egyptians for the day, right? His appearance would have been probably very different.
Well, yeah, because he was like 17 years old or 18, just a teenager. And he was 30 when it comes to the throne. I'll jump ahead of myself, fast forward. And the famine has been 2 years. So that would put him at least 32 years old. Do your math.
Yeah, we got to do 7 years of plenty. So 7 years of plenty, and then the 2 years of plenty.
Yeah, 39 years old, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because he was 30 when he came to the throne, 7 years of abundance, and now they're 2 years into the famine. So that would make him 39 years old when he reveals himself to his brother. So they haven't seen this man in many, many years. You understand? They saw him as a boy. They'd never seen him as a man. And now he's not appearing as a Jew. He's appearing as in the appearance of an Egyptian, you understand?
With something.
With royal attire. Yeah.
It's hard to recognize a dead man. You know what I mean? Anyway. Help me, Renee. Where was I? Verse 4, right? And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life.
So Joseph tells his brothers, come closer. And when they did, he said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into slavery. But look at this. He says, don't worry. Don't become angry at yourself. You did it to me for harm. But God had a different plan. God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. See, this is where Joseph is getting the revelation of why he's there. So he has a good spirit about him. And so, yeah, that sheep, that's to preserve life. You're bowing. I'm in a position. I'm not going to take advantage of you. I'm in a position to spare your life. I'm not going to take your life. You see that?
Verses 6 through 8.
So God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you would ordain that route for someone to get to the throne? How many would want to go that route to get there? That's where we have to trust the Lord. The Father knows best, right?
Mm-hmm. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste you, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus said thy son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not.
So this is where we get our time frame.
Yeah.
Joseph tells them that the famine has been in the land for 2 years, and there's 5 more years of severe famine. And then he tells them that God sent me ahead of you so that I could preserve your life. I could preserve a posterity for you in earth, and that he would bring a great deliverance through Joseph for them. And then Joseph reiterated the fact that God had sent him there. That, it, you know, they thought, and they had obviously done an evil deed, but Joseph was not seeing it as his brothers doing evil to him. Joseph's perspective now is, God sent me here. God used your devious ways to get me where I am so I could preserve your life, preserve the posterity of my father. What is that? So the promise of Abraham can be fulfilled. You remember that God told Abraham, before Abraham died, God told him that his seed would be go into a strange land. They would be there 400 years, and in the fourth generation, they would come out. And actually says they're going to serve. In other words, they'd be slaves in the land. And so this is the setup to get Israel in the land of Egypt. And ultimately, they're going to end up in slavery after Joseph dies. You understand? What's happening? The word of God that he spoke to Abraham is coming to pass. God's word's a sure word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange way to get these things to happen. So did God orchestrate it, or could God say what was going to happen before it happened? The foreknowledge of God, you understand?
Mm-hmm. So I read verse 9, and in verse 10, Joseph is invited then to come. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there I will nourish you. And yet there are 5 years of famine, lest you and your household, and all that you have come, all that you have come to poverty.
So Joseph exhorts his brother, go, get in a hurry.
Yeah.
Go get my father. I want to see my father. You know what I'm saying? Tell him that Joseph is still alive and is the ruler over all the land of Egypt. And the message they were to take to the father was, you come down to me. Don't worry about being taken care of. Don't delay. You dwell in the land of Goshen. Come with your entire family, your livestock, your flock, all your possessions. I'll provide for you so that you and your household will not experience poverty. He said the famine is going to continue 5 more years. Get daddy and bring them down. Bring the whole family. I'll take care of them.
And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaks unto you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, and you shall haste and bring down my father hither.
And it appears these brothers may still be in shock, you know, understand. And so Joseph said, look, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, you see that it's my mouth that's speaking to you. Now, go tell my father all my glory in Egypt and tell him what you've seen and bring him quickly to Egypt.
And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with
him. You can see the kind of favor that Joseph has with Pharaoh. I mean, boy, Joseph has proved himself. He's been the salvation of the nation of Egypt. You understand? And so Pharaoh, he hears about Joseph's brothers that they were come to Egypt, and he's glad about this thing. And anyway, jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but after Joseph speaks to his brothers and embraces Benjamin and weeps on him and kisses all his brothers, and then his brothers talk to him. Okay? Pharaoh hears about it, and then Pharaoh tells Joseph, you take these carts and you go get your family and you bring them here. And so he said, tell your brothers to take their donkeys and go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your household, and I'll give them the best of the land of Egypt, and they'll eat the fat of the land. Now, it's interesting because Joseph has already said, tell my father I'll settle him in Goshen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, he's giving him the best. Okay, I've jumped ahead of you, but you
That's
can catch
okay.
up with me.
Yes, I sure can. We're going to pick up right at verse 19. Yeah. Now that art commanded, this you do. Take ye wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. Also, regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours.
So Pharaoh said to Joseph's brothers, you tell your father he doesn't need to be concerned about household possessions. I'm going to give you the best of the land of Egypt. I'm going to take care of you. Why? Because your son is taking care of me, right? And so he's happy to do this for them.
And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment.
And he's still favoring Benjamin, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Joseph gave his brothers wagons like Pharaoh had commanded. He gave them food for the journey. And he gave each of his brothers a new garment. But look this. He gave 5 garments to Benjamin, 300 pieces of silver. And I don't hear them arguing this time. You understand?
Mm-hmm. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way.
So Joseph sent his father 10 male donkeys loaded with goods from Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his journey to Egypt. And these guys are going back with an abundance. And Simeon too.
Aren't we glad? And so he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. And they went. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not.
Now, Joseph sends his brothers from Egypt to Canaan to get his father, but he gives them some instruction. And he tells his brothers, don't you get in an argument and angry with one another as you journey home. So they left Egypt, went to Cana, where the father lived. And they told her father that Joseph was alive, was ruler over all the land of Egypt, and said Jacob's heart became faint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't believe what he was hearing. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. That'd be good news, wouldn't it? You've heard of people hearing news and fainting. Well, this is about where Jacob is. You know, this sounds too good to be true here.
Yeah. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived.
So these sons tell all that Joseph had spoken to them, and when Jacob sees the carts that Joseph had sent to him to take him to Egypt, it says his spirit revived. Yeah, man, this sounds too good to be true, but it sure does look like it's true, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, load up, boys. I'm ready to go.
That's a good thing to say. But, you know, there are times in our walk we have to choose to be willing to go. Things can look too good to be true, don't they? But spiritually speaking, we have to make a choice to step out. They could have said, well, you know, we're really settled where we are. We've got everything set up the way we like it. Our families are there. Our children are there. We can just come and get food from you when we need to, can't we? But you understand the full gift and the fullness of that gift wouldn't have been there for them unless they were willing to step out and go. There are times when we just have to step out and go.
Think about this. Now these guys have to tell their daddy the truth.
Yeah, whoa.
Joseph's alive. How did Joseph get to Egypt? What's going on here? And so they have to fess up and tell what they had done to Joseph.
And Israel said, it is enough, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die.
So, you know, it goes back and forth from Jacob to Israel, right?
Yeah.
And so here it says, Israel said, this is enough evidence to convince me that my son Joseph is still alive. I'm going to Egypt, and I'm going to see him before I die. You understand, he's excited now.
Yeah.
I'm going to live to get to Egypt, and I'm going to live to see Joseph. You understand?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there had to be some scolding and reconciling and all this kind of stuff in the family. You understand? But Joseph sets the pace. Our time's up here, so we'll stop. This is a good place.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pick back up with chapter 46.
Okay.
How many people could keep the attitude of Joseph? We want to sing somebody's done me wrong song. And Joseph is saying, God sent me ahead of you to take care of you. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed to enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, that your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great weekend. Stay warm.
That's going to be really cool.